On this episode of The Playbook, I have Simon Huck, founder and CEO of Judy and the principal of Command Entertainment Group, and we're going to talk about emergencies, what to do in emergencies, and what myths apply to emergencies. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have a new friend of mine, and he's kind of a soulmate, Simon Huck. He's the principal of Command Entertainment Group and founder and CEO of Judy, which is not my girlfriend, Judy, not my wife, Julie, but an unbelievable organization to help people. And I love philanthropic entrepreneurs like yourself. Simon, welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you, David. So excited to be here.
You know, I really wanted to have you on because I believe that there's a common denominator. There's certain people that no matter what they do, my aunt who was in Manhattan, who is one of my mentors, she always said, people either have it or they don't have it. And she used to give me the compliment and say, I know you're going to be successful because you have it. When I first met you, that would have been my description of Simon Huck. Oh yeah, he has it. And it's an indescribable force, one in which allows you to have this, you know, tenacity of that you must be what you can be, but also this empathy. You know, you work so closely, for example, with the Kardashians, right? You work with their brand and other brands and tie those in. You're a legend in that space. But, you know, only one person, it's not an accident. Like people just think, oh, Simon's lucky. He met these people and then this. It's your whole life before you met the Kardashians, I promise you. So I was hoping that maybe you kind of talk people through, you know, what your perspective was in relationships in order to effectuate the success that you have in business, but also then how that is relative to like you have experiences of people in need and you say, hey, I have a solution. I'm going to continue this effort.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because, you know, you hear people who say, oh, well, you've met this person along the way, which obviously helped propel your career. But at the time, you know, when I started my career in 2004, 2005, we were an entertainment marketing company. I was working for this guy named Jonathan Cheban and Lizzie Grubman. Both were kind of these well-known industry publicists in New York City. And the idea of kind of mixing celebrity with brands, I mean, people were doing traditional endorsements, but there wasn't this red carpet kind of Instagram culture that exists now. It was a totally different story back then. And the people that I met early on in my career who were kind of budding starlets, I mean, at the time that I met Kim in 2007, she didn't have a show on E! And we all really started at the same kind of playing field. You know, I was an associate at a PR company and we all had kind of our eye on the bullseye. We all wanted to build something. I was very focused on behind the camera work and she was obviously focused on TV work. And you know, over the years, our careers have grown. And, you know, I'm now at a point, you know, when I just launched Judy 4 months ago, where after 16 years of building all these meaningful relationships, I had this existential crisis where I thought, what the hell am I doing? I love my marketing company, but I'm not feeling fulfilled. How can I use these relationships and do something that's more mission focused? And that really was the genesis of Judy.
And how did you tie the skills, knowledge, and desire from building, you know, that great brand company into Judy, which is specifically giving, you know, exigency or emergency kits, I think four different types to people. You know, it's not a natural transition. How in your mind did you connect the dots and say, look, this is how I'm going to do it and what I'm going to do?
So I have friends, family over the last 16 years who've been involved in emergencies. So some have been in household fires, so domestic emergencies. I have friends who've lost their homes in large scale emergencies. Hurricane Sandy, you know, the wildfires in Southern California, all of these emergency situations have been in my life. And the friends and family who've endured them all had the common denominator of being vastly underprepared. Most of them didn't even know what an emergency plan was. None of them had an emergency kit. And the people that did didn't even know where it was. It was hiding in their pantry. So my co-founder and I sat down, you know, 18 months ago, we were noodling an idea in the emergency food space. We thought, you know, this idea was killed after 2 weeks, but we thought if you fixed emergency food, shelf stable food, that it could be a whole new, almost like a Pedialyte, like there could be a secondary purpose around emergency food. Everyone, we'd send people samples. Everyone, you know, called us and said, are you insane? This stuff is disgusting. There's so much sodium in it. But in the same breath, they said, wait a minute. Like, we're really fascinated around emergency planning and preparation. There's no real brand that's speaking to us. You know, there's upscale brands that are selling $5,000 emergency kits. And then there's, you know, on the other side of it, there's this kind of outdoor adventurer that is you're backpacking in a mountain for 24 hours, but there's nothing speaking to families about the importance of family safety. So, you know, you get that kind of tickle, you get that feeling where you're like, wait a minute, this is something that we can do. And I felt like with all of my relationships, I could put a lot of eyeballs on it. And I knew that emergency preparedness is not a sexy category. It needed a lot of people talking about it in order for us to have an impact.
One of the most interesting things as a marketing person, someone that comes from the traditional side, when you started your career, you know, I was with Lee Steinberg in the pinnacle of traditional marketing with Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren, you know, bigger name. It's just old school commercials and print advertising and other things that you were transforming into my own brand today that I utilize things that you thought of in 2006 and seven that were going to be. The interesting thing is that energy wise, people don't like to think about emergencies, right? It's the huge problem of America that you're branding against yourself. You know, it's real easy. For example, the Kardashians, they're branding right into the 87% of the market, right? What they brand themselves as is the big part of it. Everybody wants to see the Kardashians, right? I actually, you know, did a takeoff. I don't, you see it like in my closet, right? Like keeping up with the Meltzers, come out of a closet, making fun of Gary Vee and off, you know, taking off The Office with a little Kardashian spill. But that's easy to market, right? It's like, yeah, boom, hundreds of thousands of people love Dave Meltzer in the closet. Right. But you start talking about, hey, you know, this earthquake could happen or a flood could happen. And people don't want to do it. It's like, you know, the apathetic side of an athlete thinking about their career's over.
Yeah, it's the category. It's almost like they shut down completely. And that explains why 60% of American families have no emergency plan or supplies in place. And all the things as we were developing, Judy, we learned about from first responders and firefighters and all the people that collaborated with us. They said during an emergency, like a Katrina or a Hurricane Sandy, or of course now we're seeing a COVID-19, things like panic purchasing, mass hysteria, heightened levels of anxiety, these are all the things that people face when they're not prepared. And, you know, you believe it, you talk about it, but then now that we've experienced it, you know, we launched Judy on January 27th, 2 weeks after spending 2.5 years developing the brand, COVID-19 hit the United States. So it has been kind of this surreal, extraordinary experience having gone through this learning of 18 months of all the things that people go through psychologically when they're faced with such a huge emergency. So you're totally right. It's not something that people want to talk about. It's part of the reason why the branding around Judy is so optimistic. It's so hopeful. You know, the design of it, sometimes people say, oh, it's fashionable, which makes me cringe a little bit. We wanted Judy, not necessarily to be fashionable, but it needs to apply to your life. It needed to be a part of your household. It couldn't be hidden in the pantry. A lot of people use Judy as almost like the centerpiece of having the tough conversation of, hey guys, we're going to practice our evacuation drill and we're going to figure out all the ways we can exit our home in the event that we needed to exit in the middle of the night if there was a fire. And those conversations are really difficult, but you need to have the muscle memory. If you don't start planning, you know, what can happen is when you're in an emergency, you know, you end up freezing. You know, or you become the runner. There's different kind of emergency personas. We classify them as a freezer, runner, or thinker. And Judy's mission is to get everyone to be 10% more as a thinker versus I'm a natural freezer. I'm like deer in headlights.
Oh my God. I'm the natural Buddha thinker. I'm more like in non-important situations. And I've worked on not being it, but I'm like the freak of the week when it's like a minor, you went the wrong way problem. You know, I'm the one that's like, calm down, Dad. It's not a big deal. But in the few times that I've been in situations, I'm like a Buddha. I don't know what it is. I get that laser focus. I'm breathing. I'm blessed to be that way. Why the name Judy, though, on a branding side of things?
So we wanted a name that almost became a persona. So we had friends and family who were named Judy, and they were all type A. They were like our great aunt or our grandmother, our great grandmother, who's super organized. She was the woman that had, you know, hand sanitizer, glove, like she had everything in her purse. So like it suddenly just morphed into this persona, and suddenly people in our community on Instagram, Facebook, they send us messages being like, oh my God, I know a Judy and they're so organized. They're so prepared. So really Judy is a persona.
That is so funny, because when I thought of Judy, I thought of, God, Judys are really organized people. Like, you know, very, very like proper. And it's like, my name's Judy. You know, the idea that came to my mind. What are some of the biggest myths about emergency situations? Obviously, toilet paper must be one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are
a drawer for a socks. That's, I'll never have to buy toilet paper. I got all the one socks that I lose and only have one. I have a drawer. They're my emergency socks for all kinds of uses.
So funny. Well, there's two big hurdles and myths around kind of the lack of preparation that we do in America. So there's one cohort of people who believe that emergencies won't happen to them. And then there's another cohort of people who believe that if emergencies do happen, there's nothing they can do to prepare or mitigate against them. So those are the challenges. But then when you get down into actual disaster preparedness, there are so many myths and misnomers around what to do. You know, some people, if you ask people basic information of what to do during an earthquake, a lot of people say, oh, well, you should leave your home. You should run out that front door and you should run. You know, people, we do these preparedness, almost like Big Little Lies preparedness classes in California before COVID, before the COVID outbreak. And a lot of the parents there didn't have the basic information that the kids had. I mean, kids would interrupt saying, oh, I know the answer to this. There's just such a blank space there when it comes to preparedness. So much of our marketing message and our kind of internal message has been, how do we educate people and give them the tools to be prepared? Because if you do anything, you need the education. It's arguably more important than the actual physical kit. Although I'm sure my investors are sending me darts right now as I say that.
Right, exactly. Gotta love the board and investors. Now, have you guys ever done any content, like humorous content? I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but it'd be really interesting to say, hey, what do you do in the case of a flood? And, you know, put together a mash of all these people with these silly answers, and then have kind of Judy actually characterize kind of saying, no, actually, you know, here's...
So I love where your mind is going. You're definitely on our marketing board. So we're doing a video right now where we're showing all of the disaster movies, and then we're debunking all the things that go on in these apocalyptic movies. So like you always see these kind of Hollywood story of a person standing in between a doorway after a hurricane or a tornado has hit, which in fact is the most dangerous place to stand, like under a doorway. So we're really like focusing kind of on the levity of, hey, these are all myths in Hollywood. We're here to debunk it. And this is a way for you to actually take in the information.
Yeah, I was wondering if we had Judy way back when I was a kid, and we used to go under the desk, and I'd love to debunk, like, in a nuclear war, how safe it was to hide under my desk, or especially the school desk that I had in elementary school, you know, like how safe it was to hide under there in a fire, in an earthquake. And of course, we were during the Cold War, so, you know, some Russian attack, which is like, you know, the biggest thing about, you know, people's fear is, I always think about, when I was a kid, I used to ask everybody, you know, do you know anybody in Russia? And everybody would say no. You know, do you hate anybody in Russia? Everybody say no. I'm like, and we've spent a third of our entire GNP to protect ourselves from the Russians, and nobody even knows anybody from there.
Like basic information, right.
And you have me hiding underneath the most feeble, cheap California state-funded desk that's going to help me against these people I don't even know.
It's so interesting. And it's also, you know, I think as human beings, we only respond to immediate threats. And so the act of saying, get prepared, it's so general that people aren't driven to respond. So you need to give them tangible examples. And for us, what's really hard is we want to make sure that our message isn't driven in fear, because fear shuts you down from the category altogether, but we also have to convey the sense of urgency. You know, one of the things we're talking a lot about in our office today is this kind of double disaster situation as we go into Atlantic hurricane season, which kicks off on June 1st, and then we have wildfire season. So we already know that in Atlantic hurricane season, we're sheltering hundreds of thousands of people in community centers and auditoriums during hurricanes. How are we going to do that safely given COVID-19? So these are the conversations we're having now. And how can we talk about this even on a podcast without scaring people? You know, how do we say, this is something you need to pay attention to, but we're not here to scare you. So it's this fine line and this kind of this internal battle we have with ourselves of how can we educate and empower people to do the right thing without scaring them.
Last question real quick on the branding front. You know, obviously COVID is, you know, majority of what's on people's mind. And there's all these different philosophies and strategies right now in the, you know, in this context until I think there's a stability point of a vaccine, right? Until we have a vaccine, we can't have any stability. So we have to play with a moving board, you know, a moving game. So, you know, for me to brand athletes, celebrities, my own brand, content branding, you deal in a wide spectrum as well, right? You have all these big Kardashian type of people that you brand. You have the brands that tie to those people. And then you also have this higher vibrating Judy brand that actually will save lives. And how do you reconcile during, not the stability time, this more moving board time of things, how are you reconciling the spectrum in which you brand to? Because, you know, there is a fine line, it seems, between all the different things that you're dealing with and juggling, a fine line to branding of like, what is our messaging? Because wildfires are going to be a big thing and floods are going to be, you know, hurricanes. And yet everyone's so unifocused on COVID. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on, including our economy.
So this is a great question. And this is something that I think every day we're reassessing. So things that you talked about on Monday may not be appropriate on Wednesday. And especially with COVID, even around, let's use the masks as an example. You know, in the beginning, they were saying, don't wear masks, don't wear masks. Then they were saying, wear masks, but don't wear these kinds of masks. And the conversation changed so much. And as an emergency preparedness brand, our kits came pre-bundled with N95 masks. So we faced a situation where we thought the masks were intended for protection and prevention of wildfire smoke, but suddenly we're in a situation where we feel like we're holding hostage materials that people on the front line need. So I think, you know, all that to be said, you need to assess every day, is this message tone deaf? Like you have to read the room, and there's no, you know, you can hire fancy agencies to tell you this, but you yourself need to feel the pulse of what's going on in this kind of 24/7 news cycle. Is this appropriate content to be posting? Is this an appropriate conversation to be having right now? You know, I hear a lot of people talk about businesses and parties and events they want to have later on in the year. Is that an appropriate conversation? Should you be putting that on your brand channel right now? Probably not. I think people are still dealing with so many issues around COVID that it's just too soon to talk about us getting, you know, us on the other side of it.
Yeah, so interesting and difficult. I tell people all the time from my experience, you have to be prepared to be a hypocrite because things change so quickly, but you have to be able to take a risk in the fact that you have to make decisions daily on the values of the day and be able to illuminate the fact that, hey, you know, everybody thought that masks were really helping and, you know, now we found out they're not, or this was helping and now we find out, it's just compressing the uncertainty that we have dealt with over decades now in branding that, you know, red meat is bad for you. No, right. Red meat is good for you. It just didn't happen overnight.
Right.
Now it's like literally you could say one day in every news station, regardless of the political, you know, view is like red meat is terrible. And the very next day, red meat's the most healthy. That's literally the context in which branding and marketing is happening. That's how quickly we have to be hypocrites.
And the cancel culture and the digital receipts are there. So it happens, you know, in several hours, you can wake up to a complete storm that you didn't even realize you caused by last night's post.
Oh, yeah. It's so exciting and fun. And the best part is, though, that you and I at least take the best perspective that we're trying to better the situation and prepare people to better their situation, especially in the case of an emergency. And I give you all kudos and respect. I love people that have taken their traditional monetization of what they've been able to do and apply it to help millions, if not billions of people. And I believe that's what Judy's doing. So Simon, thank you so much for your playbook to success in philanthropy here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.